am not a professional clergyman. I used to be. I was a priest. Went to seminary twice, 2 seminary degrees. And that's supposed to make me the professional, and you are the laity. The word laity means amateur. So I am the expert, and you are the amateurs. When I go see a doctor, the doctor is the expert, and I am the amateur, because I don't even know where my liver or my bladder are. I think I know what they do, but I'm not sure where they're located. But in the church, there is no such thing as clergy and laity. The division that we have created is not biblical and was never meant to be. God does not want you to be an amateur. Thank you. God wants you to be a mature believer. Amen? A seriously mature believer. A new creature in Christ. Behold, all things, old things have passed away. All things are becoming new. You are supposed to be a minister of reconciliation. You know all these verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where you are taking the message of reconciliation to the world and letting them know that God loves them and there is a way to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. In fact, you belong to the kingdom of God and you are an ambassador of the kingdom, and you're supposed to go from this kingdom back into that domain of the devil and tell them all about what the king has told you, because you are an ambassador of the kingdom. You are a reproducing believer. If you're a healthy Christian, you should be begatting other healthy Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Sheep begat sheep. You're supposed to be a disciple who knows and can discern the truth from the falsehood, truth from error. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says that you and I are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. So although I was a priest in a denomination, I still am a priest. I'm a priest of the living God. I'm part of a holy nation, a royal priesthood. The thing is, so are you. So you are a priest. Not just me. We're all the same. We're all priests. And all of us are disciples of Jesus. And later on, when you see us prophesying over people and praying for healing, I don't do that because I'm some apostle. I do that because I read the book, you know, the Bible. And the Bible says believers can do these things. And so I do them as a believer. The work I do as an apostle, I do behind the scenes. I bring, you know, work with crisis situations. I bring counsel to leaders. We rearrange things. We fix foundational issues. But you don't see any of that. What I'm doing here, I'm doing as a disciple. Paul says, I wish you all would teach. All of us are called to follow Jesus and do what Jesus did. Amen? You know, what did Jesus do? Let's see. Well, the new neighbors came into Galilee, so he baked cookies and took them over and welcomed to the neighborhood. No. John 14, 12 says, the things that I do, Jesus talking, the things that I do, you shall do also. Greater things than these shall you do, because I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you and enable you so that you can be like me. And Jesus was the great high priest of the faith. And so all of us are called not only to follow him, but to be like him. And not only that, but to do what he did. And he didn't bake cookies for the new neighbors. Not that we know of, anyways. So you and I are called to do what Jesus did. God sent Jesus into the world. God the Father said, Jesus, go into all the world. Jesus said, guys, gals, disciples, priests, go into all the world and make disciples. And we sit back and we let the evangelists do that. Or we let those with the gift of evangelism, which doesn't exist in the Bible, do that. That's not what it's all about. The purpose of the church, you are the church, is to go into the world as a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and part of the priesthood that is bringing glory to God by winning other people into the kingdom and becoming Christian. You and I are here to complete the ministry that Jesus started. Sometimes we laugh out of fear. Sometimes we laugh out of, it's a joke, we're not doing it. Because we're not. You know, one day God said to me, what are the first two letters of God? And I said, G-O. And he says, what does that stand for? I said, go. And he said, what are the first three letters of the devil, his other name? And I said, S-A-T. You know, Satan, S-A-T, sat. He said, well, my church is not supposed to be sitting. It's supposed to be going. God talks to me very simply. We need to get off our sanctified butts and go. We are the priesthood of all believers. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So within the church, everyone is a minister. Everybody. So if you came to my church and said, so who's the minister? I would say, pick one. Because they're all ministers. And nobody knows how to handle that. No, you don't understand. Who's the leader? And I said, we all are. Everyone has a calling. Most people don't know their calling, but everyone in the church not only has a ministry, but they have a calling. And everyone is released to touch the lives of non-Christians with the love of God.
Right.
Everybody. Everyone is called to enter into maturity. And you don't do that sitting.
Right.
You do that ministering. Because that's where you find out what you don't know. And then you go looking to find out what you should know and how you're going to find out how to do it. So Jesus has placed five different ministries within his church. And those ministries are to help people become good ministers. So there are five of them, and I want you to look it up in your Bible, on your phone, however you've got a Bible functioning. Ephesians chapter 4. God has placed in the church five types of leaders to lead the ministers of the gospel. You, the ambassadors of the kingdom. These five teach you how to be good ministers, how to be effective ministers, how to be efficient ministers, how to be empowered ministers of the gospel, how to go out and influence people, how to go out and impact your community, how to go out and impart power to people's lives. There's five of them, and they're found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And Jesus gave to some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. The easier way to remember that is to change the word pastor to shepherd. And so then you have an apest, A-P-E-S-T, apest. So these five guys and gals are a pest. Just a pest, but just a pest. Because they're constantly telling you to get off your butt and go do something. And they're constantly teaching you how to do that and motivating you to go do that. Jesus had five ministries when he was on the face of the earth. He was an apostle, he was a prophet, he was an evangelist, he was a pastor, and he was a teacher. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says that Jesus is the apostle of our faith. Jesus himself in Mark chapter 6, verse 4 said, a prophet, and I am one, is without honor in his own hometown. In John chapter 3, Jesus evangelized Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, Jesus evangelized a whole town after speaking to a woman who was gathering water at noon. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the great shepherd of the sheep. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 13, it says, he's the teacher. He went about teaching everywhere he went. So Jesus had five ministries. And when he ascended into heaven, he separated those five ministries that all were contained in him, and he gave them to various people, a team. Not a local one-person solo leader, a whole team of people were now going to fulfill his one ministry. So if all you have in your church is a pastor, first off, pastor in the Bible isn't a local pastor, it's a translocal pastor. But if all you have is one leader, you only have one part of a five-part ministry. And so God is saying to his church, I want you to get it right. I want you to go back to the biblical model. I want you to go back to a biblical pattern. And he's changing the pattern of which we've been so accustomed for the last 1800 years, and going to bring it right back to the biblical model in the New Testament. And it's happening all over the world. Jesus took his five callings, his five roles, his five ministries upon the earth, and he passed them out amongst a bunch of men and women. And he said, good, together you will have the fullness of my ministry. These five ministers, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, are translocal or regional. They're not all located in one church just to keep blessing you and blessing you and taking care of you and making sure all your needs are met and healing all your owies. That's not their purpose. They're translocal, regional. And they have a home church because every believer has to be connected to a home church. Did you hear that? Every Christian has to have a home church established in that church, connected to people in that church, not just attending on Sunday, but actually engaged in the life of that church. And so all these five ministers will have that kind of a connection to a local church, and they will all not be in one church. Rarely is a church financially capable or big enough to support all five ministers. That's why they will be scattered from church to church, and they will come together as a team and travel, but they will be overseeing a multiple number of churches. Even the pastor and the teacher are translocal. See, here's what you did. I said apostle, you thought translocal. I said prophet, translocal. Evangelist, like Billy Graham, translocal. Pastor, local. Teacher, local. No. They're all part of a translocal team that travels from church to church and do their ministry, which I'll explain to you in a minute. In the local church, there's elders. And their task, according to Paul and others in the New Testament, as he established the church in Ephesus in Acts 19, was to oversee the spiritual life of the church. Even their task wasn't to do the ministry, it was to make sure the ministry was accomplished and everybody was being cared for and trained to go out into the world. And the fivefold ministers would come in and help the elders, encourage the elders, enable the elders, empower the elders, and then the elders would oversee the life of the local church. That's how it's supposed to work. So Ephesians chapter 4, look in your Bible again, verse 11. Jesus, who had five ministries when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to the church. Those gifts are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We'll go on in a minute, but let me explain some of those ministries. An apostle, according to the Bible, is a master builder. Paul called himself a master builder. A master builder knows how to lay a foundation. A master builder knows what the blueprint looks like. A master builder knows what the finished product is supposed to look like. And they can come into a place and say, that's out of place, that's right, that's wrong, that needs to move over here. An apostle is someone who is sent. Too many of them today are just going. Are you sent or did you just went? And so every apostle will be sent by a church to move out into a translocal ministry. And so when they are sent, because that's what the word apostle means, the sent one, and they come and work within a church, eventually that church will become apostolic. That means that you will be sent. Because an apostle will come in and impart an anointing that will make you want to see the lost saved. And they will come in and they will establish ministries within the body of Christ. They will establish roles. They will release gifts. They will release callings. They will correct foundational issues. They will train the next generation of apostles. And they will bring correction and direction to the church. We're not always well loved, but we work hard. The reason the church has no interest in winning the lost, and seldom do the people of the church feel like they're being sent into their world, their community, to witness about the love of God, is because there have been no apostles. There's no sent anointing. And so we become pastoral. We sit, get fed, and we become fat sheep. Amen? If the church is pastoral, the basic attitude of most pastoral churches, no matter how they're organized, is don't rock the boat. Because they may leave, and if they leave, they'll take their tithes with them. The basic attitude of an apostolic church is get out of the boat! Go do something! A prophet will come in, and they will teach you about the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, especially the prophetic gift, and they will release that prophetic gift. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul, the apostle, who was also very prophetic, said, I desire to be with you that I could lay my hands on you and impart spiritual gifts. And so apostles and prophets both can do that. Prophets also call out gifts and callings, let you know what it is you're supposed to be doing and how it is you're going to do it. And they will mentor the next generation of prophets. And they also bring correction and direction to the church. An evangelist evangelizes. Duh, that was tough, wasn't it? As a person, an evangelist will do exactly what you're called to do, go and win the lost. And so everywhere an evangelist goes, they'll be talking to people about Jesus. But their other task is to come into the church and release an evangelistic anointing and teach you how to reach the lost. How to share the gospel without church words. You need to get washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ooh, really? You're a sinner. Nobody knows what that means anymore. You have sin in your life. Anybody under the age of 30 would say, huh? So an evangelist will come in and teach you that there are various groups of people. You have the baby boomers, that's me. You'll have the baby busters. You'll have generation X, Y. Now we have generation Z. You have the millennials. You have the nuns. The nuns, N-O-N-E-S, they've never had a religion. You have the de-churched, those who came to church, got fed up, got hurt, got ticked off, left. An evangelist will come in and tell you what your culture is like and how the church today should reach it, and they'll teach you how to share the gospel of the kingdom. That's what a fivefold evangelist does. A fivefold teacher will come in and teach you the basic doctrines of the church so that you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine and believe every stupid idiot that's got a YouTube channel. They'll come in and teach teachers how to teach. They'll come in and show you the current revelation of what God is doing today in the kingdom. They will come in and repair what you already believe and teach you the correct doctrines. They will actually prevent you from being blown about by every wind of doctrine. We took surveys in 15 countries now of young people under the age of 30 to 35 and down. And we've asked them, if you could say ask any question you wanted of a mature believer, pastor, or just a mature Christian, and ask that question without any fear of being rejected or told you're stupid or laughed at or criticized, what would you ask? And we got hundreds upon hundreds of questions. And you can just boil them all down, and there's 10 of them. There are 10 basic questions young people are asking today, if we were open enough to hear them. And I figured all that out, and we were working with a bunch of people in all these countries, and I was sitting sleeping in a city in Russia called Tula, big city, and I got up at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning because I was just told before I went to bed at midnight that I was teaching a couple of hundred pastors the next morning. So I got up to write something, and God said, you know those 10 questions? And I said, yeah. He said, we have the 10 answers. And I said, oh, what are they? He said, the 10 basic doctrines of the Christian church. And he was right. I actually sat down with the questions and put the doctrines beside them. So I said that one day in Kazakhstan, where Dylan and I are going to be same building, same room. I said it, just like that. And so the night ended, and the pastors with their junior pastors and staff members all went back to where they were staying and came back the next morning. And one of the guys, Pastor Andre, said to me, you know, what you were saying last night about those questions and the doctrines, I said, he said, well, I went back and all my leaders said, wow, that was exciting. You need to teach us on the doctrines. And I said, and? And he said, well, you're causing me a lot of trouble. And I said, really? Boy, if I had leaders who wanted to know the doctrines, I'd be excited. And he looked at me and he said, I don't know them. He didn't know enough to teach the doctrines. Why? Because there are no fivefold teachers floating around telling us what the doctrines are and how to express them and explain them in the day and age we live in. You don't know the 10 doctrines. Who created evil? Because one of the 10 doctrines is the doctrine of evil. Who created evil? Well, the devil, of course. No. Absolutely not. And neither did you. God created the tree of good and evil. Isaiah says God created evil so that you would have a choice. Otherwise, you would have no free will. There would be no alternative choice. We don't know our doctrines. We need fivefold teachers. And then you have fivefold pastors. They're not local in a church. They have a church they belong to as a person, as a believer, but they go from church to church, and guess what they do? They teach you how to pastor the other people. There's 59 one another verses in the Bible, in the New Testament. 59 one another verses. You know, love one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. They just keep going. Can you expect one person, the leader of the church, to do all 59 for 300 people in a church? No. The pastor comes in, teaches you how to do them so you can do them to each other. And then if the finger has a problem, the hand ministers to it, not the foot. And so there's a fivefold ministry that if it's all together, a church has availability of all five of those ministers, then they have the fullness of the ministry of Jesus. If all you have is a local pastor, then you're not going to defeat the devil in the lives of the people. Listening to me? All right, ready? Apostle, foundational, absolutely essential to every church, right? Okay, why? Because you can't pick up a coffee cup without it. It's foundational to everything. All right, prophet, because it's the pointing finger. Evangelist, because it's the longest finger in your hand and it's reaching into the world. Pastor, because that's where your wedding ring goes unless you broke it like I did. You see, in the medieval church, they thought that this finger was directly attached to your heart, which is why it's where the wedding ring goes. And this is the teacher, see? It fits right in. All Paul did say, there's teachers coming who are going to just tickle your ears. All right, so if all you've got is the pastor, and you're trying to fight the devil, so you go up to fight the devil, and you go, whoa, whoa, he'll break your finger right off. But if you have all five in the church training you to minister, you can take your fist and plow the hell right out of the devil. And that's the problem we've got. We've got one piece of the puzzle and no punch. And that's what needs to change. And that's what God is changing. And that's the way the church is to be built. Amen?
Amen.
So we're changing things. If you don't like it, you can talk to God because it's His church. And it's His decision to change us. So those five ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, are absolutely essential for you and I to become mature. Do you know what the worst thing in the church is? To have a Christian who's been a Christian for 25 years who you're still changing their diapers. We need to get them potty trained and off the go. Amen? The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to bring you into maturity, to equip you, to train you, and so that you can find what your ministry is and then go and do it. And these are foundational things. So in your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 2. You're in 4, go to Ephesians 2. Paul's talking about the church. Let's look at verse 20. He says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So if you don't have an apostle and a prophet who can come in and minister in your church, then you will not be established. You're missing foundational issues in your church. Okay, keep your finger in Ephesians because we'll come back. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians is just before 2 Corinthians, if you're having trouble. That was funny, come on. It's as good as it gets. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Everybody found it? Okay. And God has appointed in the church, first, apostles. Second, past prophets. Third, teachers. Then workers of miracles, then gifts of healing, then helpers, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Interesting. Who's missing? The pastors. How have we built the church? Pastors. First apostles, then prophets. Why? Because they're foundational. Ephesians 2:20. When we can get all five ministries functioning within the church, then the church will reach maturity and complete the work that Jesus came to establish. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're just going to read through the rest of the couple of verses we were dealing with. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 11. And Jesus gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or shepherds and teachers. Here's their job, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until we reach mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the winds and carried away by every wind, by the waves, sorry, and carried away by the winds of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, that's not something you smoke, every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Wow. So let me tell you what that just said. That said that when you have the fivefold ministry functioning within the church, coming in and helping you, equipping you, empowering you, releasing you, one, all five are needed. They need to come in and go out and come in and go out, working with the local leaders, not pastors only, but all five, so that you're strong. Amen? The full ministry of Jesus needs to be in the body of Christ. Number two, their basic task or their job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I go to churches, a specific one recently in Sacramento. There are 64 Russian-speaking churches in Sacramento, California. And I was in a small one, a couple of hundred people. And the first couple of days I was there, I called people up to help me do the prophetic ministry. And one night, the pastor took me aside before the service and said, "Don't do that anymore. We brought you here to do it." And I said, "Fine, I will do it. I submit to the local leader." I said, "However, this is my first visit here and my last. Because you don't understand what apostles do. Apostles don't do the ministry. They equip the saints to do the ministry. And if I can't bring people up and teach them in front of everybody, then nobody's going to learn how to do what I do. And I have failed as an apostle. And I've never gone back. I don't need that kind of work. I got to do the job God gave me. My job is to teach you to do the ministry, and I get paid. I like this job. Amen? I really like it when I get paid. But all right, so we're going to equip the saints. That's my job. So what does that mean? That means I disciple people. I train people. I equip them. I empower them. I impart things to them. I mentor them, especially the next generation. I release them to go. Every trip I take young people with me overseas now. Do I need them? No. Do I want them? No. Why am I doing it? God told me, do this. And when he first told me, we had a major fight. But God said, your job is to train up the next generation of you. And you can't train them in a local church if you don't take them overseas. I'm an introvert. I don't need company. The third thing those verses said is that the saints are the ones who do the work of the ministry.
Yes, that's right.
The things I do, you shall do also. And greater things than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you, give you gifts. Go for it! Fourth thing it says, as a result of this, as a result of fivefold ministry, as a result of the team coming in, as a result of them equipping you, as a result of you doing the ministry, the church will be built up and reproduce. Every church within 2 to 3 years of it being established should be reproducing another church. Every person who becomes a Christian within at least 8 months should have reproduced another Christian. Jesus didn't come to establish a meeting. He came to establish a movement. And movements come when I reproduce apostles, you reproduce Christians, and the church reproduces churches. And that's what happens when we get a fivefold ministry, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We all do it. We all grow up. We all become mature. We all go out. A church is as successful as the number of people it sends out. So the church is built up and able to reproduce. That's what the Bible just said. Listen, it said, you will come to have the same understanding of the faith. You will all come to know what the faith is really all about. You will be brought into maturity in the knowledge of who God is and who Jesus is. In fact, these fivefold ministers will bring you into the fullness of Jesus. And you will be a mature manhood, personhood. In other words, fully in line with Christ. Fully mature adults. Fully developed within and without. Fully alive like Christ. That's another version. You'll be no longer immature babies needing help at every turn. You'll no longer be buying into every teaching and every teacher, because you'll know the Bible. You'll know the truth. The truth will have set you free. God is resetting the church. He's rebooting the church.
Amen.
You would then be able to speak the truth in love, it says. Ooh, wouldn't that be nice? There's one exception to that. You always speak the truth in love, except when your wife comes to you and she has a new outfit and she says, does this make me look thinner? Guys, you can lie. It's okay. Do not speak the truth in love. You'll be outside with the dog. Or on the couch. Got that?
That's great, man.
Yeah, that's nice. Good. In every other case, you speak the truth in love. It says in the Bible that you'll always be moving forward to greater maturity. The church will go from maturity to maturity to maturity, becoming more and more and more and more like Jesus, the head of the church. You will have the character of Christ, the same motives that he had. You will have a heart for the lost that Jesus had. You'll have an attitude like the Bible says. Have the same attitude as Christ. You'll be a servant. You'll speak the same words that Jesus would have spoken, and you'll do the same works that he would do if he were here, because he is. He's in you. The Bible goes on to say that every part of the body then will be whole, healed, functioning. Wouldn't that be nice? That each and every part would then be working properly, doing its part, and that the church would then continue to grow spiritually and numerically and would be known as a place of love, which is not the current situation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
Let me read it to you in the Message version. It's not authorized. Paul didn't use it. Neither did Jesus. But today's generation can understand its English. I'm just going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16 for you. Jesus handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to train followers of Christ in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving in rhythm and easily with each other in unity, effective and graceful in response to God's Son. Fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We will not tolerate babies in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love.
That's good.
That's what this is all about. And so God is changing his church. Whether you want him to or not, whether you like it or not, he's not going to ask you. He's never asked me my opinion. The church will then be mature. Wouldn't that be a change? Having spent 46 years leading churches, I would love to find one that ended up being mature. The church will be equipped to do the work that Jesus did. We will be trained in the doctrines. We'll know what we believe, why we believe it, how to defend what we believe, and actually explain it to other people who don't believe it. We will be supernatural, and we will be focused outward instead of focused on ourselves. And then we'll be released to go into all the world. You are the church. You are to finish the work that Jesus came and established. You are to go to all the nations. The word nations mean people groups. In a week and 2 days, Dylan and I will be in Kazakhstan. There are 26 people groups in the nation of Kazakhstan. Almost half of those do not have a Bible in their own language yet. We have gotten 3 Bibles in the last few years out to people who have never seen the Word of God in their own language. But we have a long way to go. And there's whole groups of ethnic people who have never heard the name Jesus. They do not know salvation. Do not have a church. Because we aren't mature, we don't really understand that we are the priesthood of all believers. We are the church. And you think, wow, Ralph goes to Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, you know, Russia, Armenia, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, where else do I go? Ukraine. Whoopee! Where are you going? Go into all the world. How many nations in the world today? My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. How many nations are you praying for? There's 259 of them so far. You hear me? See, we're not yet mature. We're not yet equipped. We're not yet engaged in this. But we're going to be. Because you're ministers of the gospel. You are ambassadors of the kingdom. You are the children of God. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation within the nations. And so if we come to understand this, and I've been teaching it for 40 years, if you come to understand this, it's a totally different understanding of the church, but it will make church exciting. Yeah. It'll help the church to grow. It will change the way you do church. Example. Churches are successful by how many people you can gather. So people always say when they find out that I pastor a church or did pastor a church, how big is your church? How many people come? My answer is, as many as God wants. What are they trying to do? They're trying to peg me. Are you a 100, 200, 500 mega church? Because the bigger the church, the more successful you must be. Nonsense. God says not the people you gather makes you successful, it's the people you equip and scatter.
Yeah.
So the church can change. Instead of coming and looking at me teach, you'll stand and teach. And I'll sit and criticize you. Because that's my job, teach you how to minister. Instead of being taught information, you'll be taught to be transformed. Instead of aiming for your head, we'll aim for your heart. You know more stuff than any pastor I work with, almost, in any country I go to. You know what most of my pastors know? That Jesus is God and died on the cross so they could be saved. And that the Holy Spirit is the power of God to get everything out of a person that shouldn't be in the person. That's all they know. Some of them don't have a Bible yet. They don't know there's four Gospels. You know more information than almost anybody that I work with. Other than Pastor Olga. She's smart. They know that Jesus saves and the Holy Spirit has power. What more do you need? What are you waiting for? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
What do you want? These guys were drug addicts, mafia bosses, drug dealers. And they got saved and delivered. So they go out and get people saved and delivered. Dude, this is complicated now. Listen, it's rocket science. There's a kid called Austin. He's in Winkler, and he's coming in June to Russia. I've shared this story before. He's going to meet a guy called Sergei. Sergei's an assistant pastor in a church in a city of 3 million people called Yekaterinburg, or Ekaterinburg, if you're Russian. Sergei was a drug addict, and Sergei overdosed and recovered. Then he overdosed and recovered. Then he overdosed and laid in the gutter and died. It took half an hour for the EMS people to get to him. Big city, not quite as organized as we are here. He was pronounced dead. So they picked him up and shoved him in the EMS vehicle and took him to a hospital. He was pronounced dead. A little while later, they took him to the morgue, and the doctor at the morgue pronounced him dead. And we're into like 2 hours more then at this point. And so they undressed him and put a name tag on his toe and shoved him in the drawer. Staff changed, 11 o'clock at night. Bodies come and go because drugs are a big deal over there. You know, the guys I work with, cocaine addicts, heroin addicts, 20, 30 years at a run before they get saved. And so they're checking the drawers to make sure that the toe name and the person that the toe name is attached to is the same as the person in the drawer on their sheet of paper so that they don't give the wrong body away later. And as she's pulling open his drawer to check the toe tag, he sits up. He'd been dead for over 3 hours. He sits up. She faints. I'm not sure it's because he was nude or because he had been dead that long. He now is assistant pastor in a very fast-growing church in this city. We've had him over here in Canada and America giving his testimony. We have medical proof, documentation in English, Russian, any language you want. We'll get it for you. It's a true story. Because what does Sergei know? Oh, two things. Jesus saves, and the power of the Holy Spirit can do anything, including raise you from the dead. If you go on the street with him to witness, he's embarrassing. He didn't care what you think. He lived in the gutter. He died in the gutter. The church is changing.
Yes, it is.
And we are the church. So get used to it.
Yeah.
And if God wants your opinion, he'll ask it. But he hasn't asked me mine yet. So we're going to change the way things are done all over the world. And you are going to get equipped so that you can go out there. Not just taught some nice thing, but if, as Pastor taught this morning, you are a minister, you have a job, you have a ministry, then this is how it's going to be done. The fivefold ministers will equip the saints for the work of the ministry, bring the church into maturity, into unity, into the fullness of the body of Christ. We're going to be like Jesus, have the life of Jesus in us, and we're going to go out into the world and finish the job that Jesus started. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Every member is a minister. Oh, we could just figure that out and then walk in it. Okay, bow your heads with me, please.